Okay, so you need two things. You need to find your password. I think they call it the Linux password, but essentially you need to find the password that will get you into the CIS web server. And it apparently is under CIS. And you need to find WinSCP. Okay, you need to find WinSCP. And that will let you get in to WinSCP. So I'm going to click on WinSCP. And this is what I get up. Now, because I was there before and saved it, it brought this information up. Yours has an empty spot under web, under hostname, and you should put in it cisweb.bristolcc.edu. And yours has a blank under username, and you should put in it your username with the number. I predate the numbers for faculty, so I don't have a number. I guess most faculty don't. So, I do not have a number, but you will. cisweb.bristolcc.edu, then your username. And then you want to put that password that I just asked you to go looking for over there. Okay, so that's why you need the password. Now, if you try to put the password in, it's not letting you write. If you click on edit, then it will give you write privileges. So click on edit, and then you can put in your password. Okay, so when WinSCP comes up, you're putting in the host name, your username, and your password. Okay? And if it doesn't let you type stuff, click on edit, and it will then let you type. Okay? Is everybody with me? Does that mean they found passwords, but you have not a password?
I'm still logging in.
Okay. Wow. Did you turn on as soon as you came in? Did you turn on the machine as soon as you came in?
I logged in as soon as I came in.
Wow, that's taking forever. And you can't find your password?
No.
Okay, so it would probably be a good idea if you sat next to somebody that has a password and looked on within 15 minutes while we're doing this. Okay, so once you have got your username, your password, and all that in there, then you can click on save, and it will save it. And it comes up with this, whatever, save session as site, site name, CIS, whatever. This is a new thing that didn't used to pop up. All I did was click OK, and it went along. Then I am noticed when I clicked on OK, it took the password away. If you click on Save Password, it would save it, but they, for some reason, think it's a security thing that you shouldn't do that. And I agree, you shouldn't save passwords. So you're going to hit on Login, and then continue, and then put in your password again. So in fact, I think we'll find that you don't have to put in your password at the beginning, actually. So I am now putting in my password again, and I'm clicking OK, and at that point, it comes up with this. Now, yours is not going to be anywhere near as full as mine. because I've got a lot of stuff out there. In fact, yours will come up like this. In the past, it didn't have as much memory. Now it remembers where you were the last time you were here and brings you in at that spot, even if that's not where you want to be, that's the spot it's going to bring you in. And so since I did this in the last class, it brought me in a different, slightly different spot. When it comes up, what you should see here is home and your username. That's what you should be seeing. Okay? Now, at this point, you need to click on public HTML because we're going to go into public HTML. Okay. So you click on public HTML. And again, I have a whole load of stuff. You should just have index.html. Yeah. Oh, you're looking at your password? Okay, I'll go back over it again. Yeah.
Okay, I'm here. So.
Okay, so Seth just told him I'll go back over it, so why don't we do that, okay? So just, I'm going to go back over it from the start. Okay, so I am now going to come here, close this down, and... So you start out by clicking on WinSCP. When it comes up, you're going to enter in the host name, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu, and the username. Now, I've always entered the password here, but apparently they've got a newer version, and it's going to ask you for the password in a minute. So I'm going to try not entering the password here and see if that works. So I'm going to say login, and that seems to work. And then I'm hitting continue, and now it's asking me for my password. So that seems like a more efficient way of doing it.
So.
And when I come to ask for my password, I'm going to type it in, yeah.
So the username is your account name and the password is your password.
Right. It's the password they sent you.
You just need to edit and then click save after you type in your thing.
You can do it that way, or I just clicked on login and it was happy there because came up with a place for me to enter the password. So I had been doing it the way I used to do it, and I couldn't type in my password, and so I hit edit, and then let me type in my password, and then I said save, and everything is happy, but then I had to type my password again. I said, okay, let me try just hitting login without typing my password, and let me do that, and then I went over and typed my password. So one way or another, fiddle around with it. If you hit edit, then save seems to be required, and then login. Or without typing the password, I got away with just doing login. Yeah.
Now, this one says username rather than password. So do I have to type in my username first before my password? Right here. I click login.
Okay.
Then I have to click my own username.
Apparently, I don't know what you did at the beginning, but we'll see.
Well, I first tried I clicked edit, and I was going to...
Put some numbers on it.
Some numbers?
Well, I mean, finish your username. Okay. Then hit continue. And then type your password.
Okay,
he just did it somehow where... It asked him on a separate screen to type its username. So apparently the ways of doing this are limitless. But somehow you got to get your username and password in there. Okay, and apparently there are, I think we've seen 4 or 5 different approaches already. Okay, so just go with something and it will get in there. Again, they improve things to make it more friendly. And I was a lot more friendly when they didn't improve things, but that's all right, yes.
It says access denied, and I tried clicking my own
Then
password.
You probably didn't put the right password in.
I did put in the right password.
Did you use your BCC password, or did you... They sent you an email?
I was using my BCC password.
No, you gotta have the CIS password that they sent you.
Don't, if you look in your email, you, I plan to search for a list of Linux.
Only one email that's going to probably come up with it. That was good. That was good. And it was September 6th, you said, right? September 6th. September 6th. So I just need to go log in. You're going to go look at your pal. Yeah, I need to go to my office 365. And you got to find your password. Okay, is everybody settled and in? Yes. Except for you.
I think I deleted my thing too, but I still looked it up. CIS web is the subject of the email. Okay, yeah. Yeah, right. You're the one that was. Yes.
CIS web?
Correct.
And the you can also find it with the keyword Linux.
CIS web.
Okay, so once you got there, you have to click on public HTML. And this is what you should see after you click on public HTML. Home, your username, and public underscore HTML. Okay? So, and I've got a lot of things. I think all you've got is index.html or something. That's the only thing you've got in yours. Okay. So, what I have here is this is the server. Okay? This is what's out on the server. Over here, you can access any drive you want to access. So I came over here and I clicked on this area right here that shows me all of the different areas that I can have. And I clicked on my E drive because I was pretty sure I had an HTML out there. What you want to do is if you have an HTML on a flash drive, now would be a good time to put the flash drive in. And try to get a hold of an HTML that you can put out on the server. Okay, so you want to put some kind of HTML out on the server. Okay, if you don't have one, then download one of mine and use that to put out there. But you want to have some kind of HTML that you can put out on the server. Yeah.
So could I use the one, for example, that I emailed, like mine that I emailed you?
Absolutely.
How do we let download one?
Pardon me?
How do we download a...
Well, you can just view the source and copy and paste it into Notepad and then save it is probably the easiest way. So view the source of one of my programs, copy and copy the source code into Notepad, save it, as a .html file. That's probably the easiest way, yeah.
I'm trying to find the password for it.
Right.
But I can't, I tried looking under your name and I can't really seem to find it.
It wouldn't be under my name. I didn't send it. It's from CIS, so what you want to do is do a search on CIS Web. Or look for CIS Web. All one word, I think.
One word?
I think so. Okay, so now I can find something. So I have something out here called myfirst2.html. So I'm going to drag it over to public HTML and drop it. And so now I will have somewhere in here. There it is, myfirst2.html. So I can take something from here, myfirst2, and drag it over to there. So what I'm doing is putting it up on the server when I drag it over there. I'm putting it up on the server. So it is now available to me on the server. Okay, now I can actually look at this. I want to make sure I saved it. I can actually look at this, and if I right click on it and hit edit, edit comes up such that I can make changes to the HTML if I want to, and it allows me to do that. So I can right click and choose edit and do that. I can also right click and choose rename, and rename will let me rename the file if I wanted to rename it. So I have some options there that I can right click, click on edit, and do some stuff. Okay, so I now have my first 2.html. Now I want to see it out on the browser. So if I want to see it on the browser, I need to bring up a page. And I'm now going to type the address in. So first I tell it the host. And the host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. That's the host that you typed in when we were getting into WinSCP. That's the host that you typed in. Then I put a slash. Then I put a tilde, and a tilde is the little thing that's right under the escape. It's up in the left corner, it's the curly thing right under the escape. So I put in the tilde, and then I put in my username. And then I put the name of the file. So there it is. There is the name of the file. So again, what I do is I write cisweb.bristolcc.edu/ and a tilde and my username and a slash and the file name. So, here is the host. Here is the username. Here is the file name. Now, if you chose to make a directory out there, then you would put the directory right in there. Slash directory slash file name. So if you chose to have a directory out there, you would have slash directory slash file name in getting your address. Okay, so this is the address you'll put in. Notice the home up here and the public HTML up here are not part of the address. The tilde takes care of that. And the biggest mistake people make is putting public HTML in the address. It's not part of the address. The tilde takes care of that. Yes?
I don't see CIS website on my emails.
I can get it, we can ask them to get it for you, but if you don't have it, then you must have deleted it by mistake or something. And we can get it back, but not right now.
Right.
Okay, so you can look on to what he's doing or watch what I'm doing. Either way, but I can't get it for you right now. Okay, so there is the address. So what I need you to do is eventually upload your page to CIS Web. Now, your image also has to be uploaded because it's not going to be able to find your image on your hard drive when I try to run it, okay? So the image has to be up on the server as well. And I would put the image in public HTML along with the file. If you decide to use a directory, then you want to put the image and the file both in public HTML. In the directory. So if you made a directory, then you're going to put the page in the directory and the image in the directory. Okay? If you made multiple pages, you can put them all in the directory, or you can all put them all in the root of public HTML, meaning right in public HTML. So one or the other, you want to have them in the same place. If you want to get creative, you can put them in different places, and that involves addresses. And I have no problem with that, but we really didn't spend an awful lot of time on addresses, so I would recommend not doing that. But if you're comfortable with addressing, feel free. Okay, guys. Questions? That means you can go home and upload your page with no problem, right? Okay. So next week, you need to send me the address, yes?
Wait, so you have to go home and use WinSCP?
Or come in the labs, either one. WinSCP is free that you can download. Or you can come into the labs and do it. You know, just sit in here in the labs and log in and do it. So you have a choice of doing it at home or doing it here in our labs. Okay? And you've already done it in the lab, put something up there, so now you just would have to put your page up. Okay, questions? Yeah.
So when I get my email with the password,
right,
then I can load this onto my thumb drive, correct?
Load which?
What you're doing now.
No, what you're going to do is you're going to either, if you want to have it at home, you're going to download WinSCP.
Okay.
And then you can use WinSCP to get things up there. And where you're going is up on the server. The only thing that my thumb drive had on it was the original HTML that I wrote.
But
and then I dragged over to the server.
because I saved like that zip file that we had in class. I saved that on my thumb drive. I can use that.
You can use that, but you gotta unzip it and then upload the HTML.
Okay.
Okay, and upload the images. Okay, but it's not gonna find it within the zip file, so you've got to unzip it and give it the HTML and the images.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So for homework, we have to like send the HTML and the photo?
That's this week's homework, which is due this Thursday. Then for next week, you've got to get it up on the server and send me the address so that when I click on the address, I will see your page.
Okay?
Because I want it out on the web. So I want you to send me the address, which is CIS. For mine, this would be the address I'd send. For the thing that I just put up here, that would be the address I'd send. And then when I click on that address, I should see your page up on my browser.
Okay. So for this week's homework, we just send that HTML.
That's right. That's right.
That's on the server?
No, it doesn't have to be on the server for this week.
Where will we send
you can just attach it to me.
Attach it to your Facebook.
Right, send it by email. Now, if you want to skip this week, you can just send me the address this week, and that feels too good with oneself.
That's a possibility too.
Oh, absolutely.
I just grabbed my files from the sink already.
And so, if you send me the address by Thursday, then you've done a twofer, basically. Okay, you get credit for having done the page, and you get credit for next week's give me the address.
That makes more sense.
Right, but, you know, we didn't cover that till today, and I don't want to say that has to happen by this Thursday. That's next Thursday. But if you are comfortable with it and you send me the address, we're all set.
So
yeah.
I could just send you the address and I'm good?
Yes.
All right.
Presuming that it works.
Sure.
So, that's right. You're good only if it works. But I can look at what you send me. If I click on the address, I can do a view source there and see the code just as easily as if you send it to me as an attachment. And in fact, it makes my life easier because I don't have to download all your stuff and save it. It makes my life easier. So send me the address. Make my life easier.
I give you both.
So it has to be right that way, right?
Hopefully.
Okay, anybody else got any questions on this? Remember that Eric, who's apparently out today, I didn't check my email, so he's apparently out today, is usually here at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so if you have problems, you can come visit with him at 2 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday. As I said, he's not in this class and he wasn't in my previous class, so I suspect if I check my email, there's a reason why he's not here. But so wait till Thursday. Okay. This is going to, learning this stuff is going to drive me crazy, where the smart board is and where it isn't. But anyway. Okay, so if you go to my website, okay guys, my turn. Guys, my turn. If you go to my website, there are three assignments for this week. We've just talked about number one, upload your web page and send me a link. Number two is a quiz. Quiz are usually 3-day quizzes. This time you've got a week, so it's due by September 19th. I take late homework. I do not take late quizzes. Okay, quizzes have to be done on time. It's a simple little 10-question quiz, and basically you put the answers on the email and send it to me. Okay, and that has to be done within a week. The third thing that we're going to look at involves an access database. I wouldn't start this assignment until Thursday after the class, unless you're very comfortable with it, because a lot of what's on the assignment we won't cover until class is over on Thursday. I won't get to it all today. You have to set up a database. And just to comment, some of the data that you have to put in it, I have put notes on some of it down here to help you gather the data for the database. So the notes on college resources is just there to provide you some of the data that you have to put in the database. Okay, that's the three assignments for this week. Now what I'm going to do is go out of here and go in and bring up access. And access is under Microsoft Office 2016, and then somewhere in here, Access 2016. So you're going to Microsoft Office 2016 and then clicking on Access 2016. Okay, so this is what you should see. What I'm going to click on next is the blank desktop database. Okay, so I'm going to click where it says blank desktop database. Whoa, I don't know what I just did, but I'm going to get out of here and open it again because I double-clicked and I don't want to go past. Okay, this is the thing that I almost went past. Don't do that. Come back if it does. This gives me a chance to make a name for it, okay? So I'm going to call this knit database student F17, because I'm going to be making a student database. So I'm calling it student F17. Then I get to choose where I want to put it. Okay, so I'm going to hit the little browse icon so that I can go and put it someplace. And I'm going to put it out on my E drive. So there's my E drive, and I'm putting it out there. So again, it makes sense to have a flash drive, and then you can put stuff on your flash drive. So, I am saying I want to put it in student F17. I want to create that. I click OK, and it comes back and says studentf17.accdb will be on the E drive.
You have to put it the same name you have.
No, you can call it anything you want to. And the ACCDB is the name of the extension, and it stands for Access Database. So it's the name of an extension. And then I type the word create, or I click the word create, and it creates the database for me. Now, a database is a collection of tables. And the tables are what actually store the data. And you have multiple tables in a database. So for example, there is a student database here at the college that contains information about you, information about the courses you've taken, information about financial aid, all of that kind of stuff is in the database. And databases are what it's all about. If you don't have a way to gather data and save data, then it's pretty hopeless. in the computing world, everything is about the data that we capture and save. So if you're in games, you've got to capture and save game stuff. If you're writing programming, you may be doing payroll and capturing payroll information. All of that has to be captured and saved. So everybody should know the basics of databases. Okay, this comes up, and I don't like this particular method of collecting. So I'm going to click on this little box that has view underneath it. I'm going to click on that box, and when I click on it, it is going to ask me for a name of the table. So I'm going to call the table Stew. Okay, so I'm going to have a table named Stew within this database. And then I say okay, and notice it goes over there, and this used to be called table one, now it's called Stew, the name that I chose. And now I've got a different kind of layout, and I'm going to put some data in here. Now, databases are made up of tables. Tables are made up of records. So a record is a collection of data for a particular person. So if I've got five people on my table, they each have a record. And the structure of their record is the same. Everybody's record on the particular table is structured the same, and that's what we're going to look at next. And within records, I have fields. And right now, what I'm talking about is the field names, and I am defining the record. I'm going to put a lot of fields up here, and that will define the record. And the table is made up of a collection of those records. So the table is a collection of the records. Okay. So now I'm going to make the table. So I'm going to call this IDNO. They called it ID in big caps. I like IDNO. Notice there's a little key next to this. This is known as the primary key. And the primary key is the field that will uniquely identify every record on the table. So ID number is an ideal primary key because everybody's going to have a different ID number. Your student ID is the primary key for all the records on campus having to do with you. Your student ID is the record, is the primary key. Okay. Way back when, we used to use ID, Social Security number as the primary key, despite the fact that's illegal, but everybody did it. Now people are more guarding their Social Security number, and it's not everybody's primary key for everything they ever do. Okay. When I think about how many times I wrote my Social Security number when I was cashing a check, on the top of the check, makes me sick. Okay. Now for every field that I put on here, I have to tell it the type of data it's going to get. Auto number means the first record will get a 1, the second record will get a 2, the third record will get a 3, etc. That's not what I want. I want to make up my own ID numbers. So I click here and I get a downward arrow. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to pick short text. Short text allows me to have letters, numbers, and special characters. Okay, I put a pick number. I don't tend to use number unless it is data that I may want to mathematically manipulate. For something like short ID number, I tend to pick short text. It would let me have letters in the ID if I wanted to. But also I just know that I'm not going to manipulate it, so I do that. And it also gives me a way of setting the field size. Right now, the default field size is 255 characters. There's no way I want to have a ID of 255 characters, so I'm going to make it 4. So I now have a field that has a name of ID number, it has short text, and it is 4 characters in length. Now I can drop down to the next line and put the next field. So I'm going to put Stu name. And I'm going to make that a short text field also. And I'm going to make that 40. So that I now have 40 characters. Whoops. I now have 40 characters. And then the next field I'm going to call major. And I'm going to make that a short text also. And I'm going to make it 2. Because it's going to have things like CI if you're a computer major, BU if you're a business major, EN if you're an engineering or whatever. Then I'm going to put GPA. And GPA I may want to use mathematically, so I'm going to make it a number. Once I've made it a number, I can come down here and pick the kind of number that I want it to be, down here under field size. So I'm clicking on that, and I'm going to pick single, because GPA is a small decimal. I could also pick decimal. I happen to like single better from some work that I've done, so I put single there. And then the last thing I'm going to put is number of courses. And I'm going to put a capital S there just because it makes it more readable. You cannot have embedded spaces in field names in most things. Access allows you to get away with it, but then you have to put square brackets around it with things that makes it a pain. So I don't allow embedded spaces in field names. Okay, so I will tell you not to put embedded spaces in field names. So I don't want you to write NO space courses. I don't want spaces embedded in the field name. Worst thing Microsoft ever did, in my opinion, was allow embedded spaces. Nobody else allows it. Yeah.
I'm stuck. I can't figure out how you did the whole Stu change the table thing.
The whole, okay. I clicked on the thing, the image right under. Let me finish this and then I'll try to see if I can recreate it. I'm going to make this a number and I'm going to make this just a plain integer. A long integer gets into the millions. I don't need a long integer. I don't remember exactly where it's clicked, and maybe the 100,000s. I don't need a long integer. Nobody's going to take over 100 courses, let alone 100,000. Okay, so I'm just going to make it a regular, ordinary integer. Okay. To answer your question, when I created the table and I clicked on the word create, it came up with a kind of scene. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, so when I hit create there, it came up with this particular and it showed a particular way of doing it, but I realized you probably can't see, but it showed a particular way. And at that point, I came up and clicked on the tools. When I clicked on the tools, it came up and asked me for the name of the table, and I typed Stu. And then once I had typed that, I hit OK, and the next thing came up and showed me that this table one that you can see here had been changed. There's the table name for me to go ahead and put in a name. And then it came up and it showed me Stu, and it showed me this way of setting it up. Okay. So that's kind of the best I can do in recreating it. So now we have a database with all these fields, okay? So we have the database with all these fields. And each time we wanted to create another field, we just moved down a line and we created all of these fields. Now what that is the structure of the table. So were you able to create the structure at all? Okay. I will try to come around and help you with that in a minute, okay? In 2 minutes. So I created the structure of the table. Now what I want to do is put data in the table. It's a two-step process. One is creating the structure. This is my structure. Now I want to put data in it. Okay? So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to close the structure. And so the X over there on the line right next to Stu, I'm clicking on that X, and it says, do you want to save changes to the design of Table Stu? And I'm saying yes. And so it's now closed it and saved it. Now if I want to put data in it, I come over here to Stu and I double click. And when I double click, look what happens. I get records that come up. And all of those records have the field name that I put in them. So I now have, I'm going to make a record. So I'm going to put data in here to make a record. So I'm putting 1, 2, 3, 4 was what I said the ID was. And then I'll put Susan Ash, and her major is a CI. And her GPA is 3.65, and the number of courses she's taken is 12. So I've entered all of that information. Then I want to put a second person in. So I put 1212, and I put John Anderson, and he's also a CI major. And he's got a GPA of 3.8, and the number of courses he's taken is, let's say, 10. So I can go through now and put several records. As you're doing it, don't make them all CI majors, because we're going to do a query in a few minutes. Okay, so go back to home and click on that. Okay, now why doesn't it like you? Oh, now it's coming up, all right, okay. So give it a name, I call it students. And then say okay. And there it is. So now you can do that structure that I just did.
ID number.
ID number. Not yet, it should be home. Okay, so there's a table called Sue. And I don't know why there is a table called Minus looking. What did we do? Have you made, put in ID number and all that other stuff yet? I'd get up and back in because I don't know why you have to set up the way it is. Go back to home. And you got a table that you want to put on. You can take on the list. So somebody would click on that. And then, yeah. However they set this up. Okay, so go to design view. And give it the name school. So now you're going to put in that stuff. And I've got to try to figure out how, why you can't see the 2 hours at once. Okay, so put in some data here. So 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, I guess I'll do first. And this would be... Something like that you're going to put in. So you have a series of records now within the table. So each of these is a record. Each of them has the same structure, and they together make up the table. Okay, so I have all of these records in the table. Okay, so the table has now got all of the records in it. So now I'm going to close the table again because I have finished the records. Now, if I open this, I can open the table by just clicking, right-clicking, and clicking on open. And notice this picture of the tools. It turns into a kind of spreadsheety-looking thing and then goes back. It's a toggle that allows me to go back and forth between design and data. So as I toggle back and forth, if this would give me the design and then the kind of graphic thing that comes up, if I click on that, it gives me the view, and I toggle back and forth between them. So there's the structure, there's the data. There's the structure, there's the data. So again, I'm going to close it. And now what I want to do is the value of having the data stored is that I can access it in a variety of ways. So I can say, I want to see records that meet certain criteria. So I'm going to say at this point, create. So I'm going to click on the create up there. And then I'm going to pick on query design. Okay? And a query is where I can ask questions of the database. So I'm clicking on query design. And as soon as I click on query design, it comes up and asks me what table I want to use. Well, I only have one table, so that's pretty easy. And I click on add, and I add that table. And you can see the table has now been added. And then I close, and there's the table. What happened to my table? There it is. There it is. Okay, there's my table. And notice it has all of the names of the fields that I put in when I was doing the structure. So now I can bring this data down. So I can say, I want to show the ID number, and I'm dragging it down. I want to show the STU name, and I'm dragging it down. You can also click here and pick something. If you click on the field, you get a major, and I click on it, and I can pick something. I can do it out of order, so I've done number of courses and then GPA, and I have those laid out. Field has the names of the field. Table has the names of the table. And it filled that in for me very nicely. Okay? So now what do I do? If I want to see what this would look like, I can click on View, and it will bring it up and show it to me. So I'm clicking on View, and there's all my data. There's all my data. So now I can go back and look at the view, and I can say, I'm going to change my mind. I only want to PC people that are CI majors. So I typed a single quote and CI. It could have been a double quote. It doesn't matter. In fact, if I don't put the quote in there, Microsoft will add it for me, and they'll add a double quote. Now, this thing between quotes is called a literal. And a literal, a non-numeric literal, is enclosed in quotes. So a non-numeric literal gets enclosed in quotes. Numeric literals don't, but non-numeric literals get enclosed in quotes. So I've now said I want a CI major. I want everybody that is a CI major. So if I go and look at this now and come over here underneath File and click on View, it's showing me only the records that had a CI in the major. I'm not seeing any other records. I'm only seeing records that have a CI in the major. Okay? So that is how I set up a query. Okay. This is as far as I got in the class that came before you, because we had a lot of problems with getting the first part of the class done, where we got the loading done. There were a load of people with problems on that. So there's enough people that are having problems that I'm going to quit today and have the people that are having problems, I'll go back over the stuff. So in other words, if you're comfortable with it, you understand what's going, you're welcome to leave now. I'm going to go back over, create another database, put up another table, and go through that a second time, because there's enough people who seem to be having problems with it. Okay, but if you're not having problems with it, you got 15 minutes to go have lunch. I have a cup of coffee, or whatever you want to do. Okay? And I should have mentioned this one thing that I forgot to mention. If I want to close this query, if I click on it, it says, do you want to save changes? I can give it a name, CI Majors. And now the query shows up over there as a CI Major. And I should have showed you that. But we will be doing a lot of those on Thursday. So the query showed up there in the CI major. Okay, so let's start from scratch. So I've closed my database and I'm going to open Access again. So I come in here and I'm now actually under most used, so I can just click on it. If that's not there for you, you're going to go to Microsoft Office and look for Access under Microsoft Office. So if you scroll down to the M's, there's Microsoft Office, and within it is Access. So I'm bringing up Access. Okay? So once I've got Access brought up, is everybody with me on bringing up Access? Okay. I want to make a new database. So I click on blank database, desktop database. Okay, so I'm clicking on blank desktop database. And I then give it a name. And so I'll call this second stew. Okay? And I am clicking on the browse to find a place to put it, and I'm going to put it on my E drive. So I'm going to call it second stew, and I am putting it on my E drive. Okay? So now I click on create, and it has been created. Now, as I said, I don't like this particular layout. And so what I do is I, excuse me, I close it down. So I come over here to the close, and I say close it. Oh, good. What just happened?
What's wrong?
It shouldn't have done what it just did. So create table will bring it back. Okay. Huh. I don't know what I did there. I shouldn't have closed it down. I think what I did the last time is I went to view and then asked me for it. But I thought close down would have also put it over there and let me do it. So forget the close down business. I clicked on view, which is right under file. It came up and said, okay, now what do you want to name it? And I'm going to name it Stu again. So I'm going to give it a name of Stu, huh?
With the design view?
Just to the bunch of tools up there.
Yeah, the home and then tool on the very farthest left.
Right.
And data sheet view and design view.
Data.
On the data sheet view when I opened up the document. So we go to design view.
Yeah, this is a toggle that goes back between kind of those things. I'm not sure I'm following your question.
No, I was.
Are you okay?
That the button you pressed.
Huh?
The question was, is that the button you pressed? Design view.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Well, then it must be the button you pressed. Yeah, it's design view and it has the tools. I tend to think of it as the tools, I guess, but it is design view. Okay, so I've got design view, and that brings up this layout. And when I get this layout, then I start putting stuff in, like ID number, and I come over here, and I say, okay, ID number is going to be a short text field, and it's going to be 4. And so I go in and I make that. And then I go down and I say the next field will be Stu name, and it's also going to be a short text, and it's going to be 40.
Wait, where are you putting this number? So down
right
there.
Okay. Down there. Okay.
So the first one you put in, how many numbers?
4.
Four.
My ID numbers are going to be 4, I decided. Okay, and then the next one, the field size, I made 40. Do you understand the access?
Yeah, I've got a touch of pictures.
So you can,
because you were one of the people that I was redoing it for.
You can modify the characters that can be wrote.
Pardon me?
You can modify the characters that can be written there.
Yeah, short text will let any character be used. Short text will let you use when you do the data. Okay, so when I make up the ID number, I could call it 1A*B, and that would accept that with short text. It will take anything in short text. And then I drop down one more and I say major, and that's going to be a short text of 2. And then I said GPA, and I made that a number. And I specifically chose single, because that's a kind of decimal. It's a small decimal. So I wanted the small decimal, so I chose single. GPA.
Okay, yeah.
I pick number, and then I pick single, because it's a small decimal.
I don't see that anywhere.
If you pick number up here,
yep,
then come down to field size, and you should be able to see single. Okay?
Yeah.
And then I put number of courses, and I put a capital C there for readability. Didn't have to do it, but sometimes if you change case, it's called camel case, and if you change case, then it makes it a little more readable when I'm trying to have two words there. And I made that a number as well. And I'm going to make that one just an integer, because long integer is up in the 100,000s. I know I don't need something in the 100,000s, so I just made it an integer. Nobody's going to take more than 100 courses, as I said, so I'll waive a little needing a long integer. So that makes my structure. I now have the structure of the table. Okay? And if I look at this, that structure goes like this. I have a field for the ID number. I have a field for the student name. I have a field for major. I have a field for GPA. And I have a field for number of courses. So those are the fields that go into my record. That's my record, and those are my fields that go into my record. Okay. So that has created my record. And now I want to put data in it. So this is when I hit close. And as I said, I thought I could do it on the other one.
You hit save first?
It actually, once I hit clears, it says, do you want to save? So I say, yes, I want to save, and then it goes away. And then if I come over here and right-click on Stu, I can say open. And when I say open, then I can enter the data. Okay, so now I can go ahead and I can enter my data. 1, 2, 3, 4, Susan Ash, CI, GPA of 3.65 and 12 courses, or whatever it is that I did for her. And then I can continue on and add more data. When I have finished adding the data that I want to add, then I can just close it and it will save it. Okay? Then when I want to create a query, I went and hit, instead of home on the tabs across the top, I hit create. And then I hit create, and then I hit query design. So I've got query design there. Create query design. I chose the Stu table, so I said add it. And then I brought the information down. And then I put the CI right below major, and we'll do a lot more with this on Thursday, which told me that I only want to see records where the major has the criteria of CI. So I only want to see records with the criteria of CI. And if I go and look at this, I'll only see that one record that I put in, which happened to have CI as the major. So I'm seeing that one record that I put in. And if I go back and look at the query, you can see that I've got CI there. So this is looking for the one record that has CI as the major.